This is the beginning of class 8.
Sashi Bhagi Jashime Tosham Rira Vinshi Nyande Yampadi Sange Shindu Mitte Uwagi Jogu Nanda Shimla
Low means mind, okay? Mind. in this case, it refers to the anxiety displayed by a newborn child. He's already feeling fear or discomfort, or, you know, he's already displaying some kind of emotions, as though he had been used to having those emotions. So Dharmakirti is taking three characteristics of a newborn child. And you have to remember the three, because they're going to keep coming up again and again. One is the fact that the child is breathing. One is the fact that the child has his or her sense power is already functioning, living tissue. And then one is the fact that of his mind, the mind itself, and specifically the quality of the mind, that the mind is already showing anxiety. Rangi Rigla Tumen Chen, the third line, in conjunction with the last word of the fourth line, mean these three things are not something which do not depend, it's a double negative, okay? These three things are not something which does not depend on something of a similar type. I'll say it again. These three things are not something which do not depend on something of a similar type.
So they always have to depend.
Yeah. Don't forget, though, he's arguing against somebody. He's responding to somebody saying, oh, they come from your mom and dad's mind or something, your mom and dad's physical elements. Luni Bhaji Nekemin means they do not come only from the body itself. They do not come only from the body itself.
Okay.
Now, Dharmakirti gives, in this verse and in the next few verses, he gives basically 10 arguments for the existence of other lives. This is the opening argument. And we're going to reduce all of them to normal argument form, which is that you take something, say something about it, and then you try to prove it. So here, we'll do the first argument, then you'll know what I mean. I kind of punch you. I didn't sleep last night. Marie Placide's mother passed away yesterday morning. They asked that you not call her, but that if you'd like, there'll be a funeral starting if you'd like. You guys can go. It's in Manhattan. So if you wanted to do that. Also, I'm supposed to announce Nancy Karen is a Tai Chi instructor. She teaches Tai Chi in hospitals. This is the wrong one. This is where to send the flowers. Okay. Anyway, if you're interested in a Tai Chi class, there's going to be one here, like just for exercise purposes, either on Saturdays or Fridays, and they're trying to decide on the days. If you want to sign up, I think it's on the bulletin board up. So the argument goes like this. The breathing,
angst,
the well-developed sense power,
and anxiety,
and his mind, the anxiety meaning his mind. The first two basically you can lump into life. You see what I mean? His breathing and the living tissue in his body, the life in him. Okay, the difference between him and a rock. Okay, some kind of life is there. Okay? Where did that come from? Now you can go back to the first moment that he had what you call life. Where did that life come from? The life displayed in the breathing and the life displayed in the living tissue of his body. Where did that come from? Okay. And then thirdly, where did the mind come from? So we know there was a first moment of those things. Where did the first moment of those things come from? And Dharmakirti says, by the way, we're taking what we can observe, which is after the baby comes out. But of course, the first moment of his life and of his mind occur inside the womb. So, where did they come from? Dharmakirti says they did not come from something which was not of their own type. Life has to come from life. Mind has to come from mind. Because you can see them now. and see that he has them not. You can observe that he has life. You can observe that he has a mind. They could not have come from something which was not similar. They must rely on something similar. And there are lots of ideas about where it could have come from. We talked about it last time. You know, I think the modern Western ones, the ones that have come up in your mind, if I say, where did your life, you know, where did the first moment of your life come from? What did that rely upon to occur? And then suddenly that thing turned into the first moment of life in you. And where did the first moment of mind in you come from? You know, what things got together, disappeared, and this result came out? Mind. Okay. That's the nature of a Nyanlengikyu, right? Nyanlengikyu disappears. The acorn, as the oak tree sprouts, the acorn must disappear. So what was it that all came together and then poof, there's a mind, or poof, there's life, and the cause disappears? You know, what was that? And you have to say, I think in Western world you say, I mean, as far as I can, you know, I'm just a layman in science, right? But I guess, you know, the chemicals came together. The chemicals in the sperm and the egg came together, and that was enough with certain other conditions present that cells started to divide, and then there was enough cells to have a nerve, and then there was enough nerve for an impulse to go along, and that was the first moment of life. Something like that. And Dharmakirti is saying, that's not correct. Those could be factors. They could be conditions for mind or life to start. They could provide the general conditions, but they are not the Nyanlengikyu. They are not the thing which flops over. They are not the stuff which became your life or your mind. That has to be something similar.
You're making a distinction between the living.
Life and mind.
Physical living thing.
Yeah. Mind. Because that's to me what he's trying to say. Jumu is the reflection of life. Now the definition of life in Buddhism is another subject. It's in the Abhidhamma Kosha. There's a big debate about it. Chodam namche ten haimbo. That's the line from the Abhidhamma Kosha. So we'll study that some. No time today. I get out lots of stuff today. Wangbo means the living tissue in your body. As opposed to, say, the tips of your fingernails and the tips of your hair, which are insensitive. The rest of your body is what we call Wangbo Su. And then Lo, the mind of the child. So where did those three things come from? It's tempting. This in Sanskrit, Dak, is normally a dual. It normally refers to two things. He's named three things. I tend to think he's grouping the first two together as life. And then the third one is mind, and saying life. Where did your life and mind come from? And that's his first argument. That's the opening salvo by Dharmakirti to the Chavakas. Come on, do you really think a rock could turn into a mind? What, the rock would disappear? It has to be something similar. You don't have to buy it. You won't buy it. You've been brainwashed since you were a kid to believe that's how it happens. It'll cook. It has to cook. And it will cook, and then one day you'll start to tend towards it. It is correct. You can corroborate it in deep meditation. You can see your future lives and your past lives. That's not a proof. I'm just saying, experientially, this is what will happen to you. Eventually, you'll see it. It happens to be true. The arguments are not funny or... They sound specious, but they're not. And he gets into later, he admits they sound specious, and he says this is why they're not. They're not. That's proof number one. Proof number two, the other four next time. Okay, so the second argument goes, take those three, which are what?
Breathing. Living tissue. Tissue.
Meaning the senses. And that mind. Do you not come from the elements alone? Because they come from something earlier of a similar type. That's earlier of a similar type is very much his, the whole key to all of his arguments. And if someone asks you ever on a homework or something, what's the crux of all of Dharmakirti's arguments? It's those two qualities. The Nyanlengikyu, the main cause, the material cause of something, should be something earlier than the result, obviously, because all causes are, and it should be something of a similar type. That's the crux of all his arguments.
So my problem with the argument, question number six, about sort of modifying somebody else's mind, is that how similar we're talking about it is similar.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems to me there are probably lots of other ways of disproving that.
It is a mind, so in that case, it's in that sense, it's similar. It's the content.
And also, there is a,
similar.
With any kind of offspring, there's going to be some similarity.
There are similar traits. By the way, a Buddhist, I mean, the answer to that is that the child and the parents share some karma. I mean, they share a similar karma to be living in the same family, to be living in the same house, to be living in the same... They're going to spend... you know, years and years together. They share some kind of karma. And they that would be the explanation of why they share diabetes, for example, or whatever, you know, if the parents have to be epileptic and the child is epileptic also or something. That would be the explanation of that. I don't expect you to buy it, I just want you to know this.
Yeah, I just didn't find it very satisfying.
I know.
I mean, there's so many other things you can bring up, like the fact that can one mind come from two minds?
Not according to Buddhism, never.
It doesn't
ever
make any sense.
A new mind
and he
can
never
even
start. Addresses that.
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
I want to talk about the elements, because I don't know if I mentioned it last time, but I know I had a lot of trouble with the idea of the elements. It sounded like, you know, holistic, natural, Chinese medicine stuff, which I didn't accept, and I didn't even know anything about. I didn't accept Tibetan medicine either until I translated for Yoshinden, and then it made a lot of sense. You know, it made great sense, but I up until that point, I thought, oh, it's all, you know, sounds good, but, you know, not much use. And I thought the elements were silly, you know, wind, fire, you know, what is there, a little wind blowing in your, some atoms in your arm or something, or, and then when I studied the Abhidharma Kosha, the first chapter, it explains what the elements are, and it makes very, very good sense. The elements are the energy underlying all physical matter. They are behind all physical matter. The physical matter that you see or touch or smell or hear, they all have behind them and stimulating them and supporting them are the four elements. So I'm just going to write the definitions of the four elements in Buddhism, and I think you can appreciate them a little bit more.
All physical matter?
All physical matter, living or dead, you know, animate or inanimate.
Well, that was why I wondered if you gave the four elements
as an example of the inanimate. But they are, by the way, they're also the basis for all physical. What's the first point, you know? Satchamendo, what's...
Earth,
okay. Earth is Sat. It's Sashing Tepa. It's the definition of Earth. You know, every young monk, by the time he's 15, is debating this in the monastery. Sashing Tepa. Sa means, concrete.
Sa.
This Sa. It's not the same spelling as the word for earth. Okay?
Solid.
Yeah. Solid and. Shing means and. Tepa means rigid. It has the ability to stand up. Because there's a lot of the earth element, or the earth energy, and earth is just a symbol. And even in the Abhidharma it says, look, it's not that we think there's dirt laying in there or something like that. It's just a metaphor for what for that energy behind the wall, the hardness of the wall. It's not even the hardness of the wall. It's the energy creating the hardness of the wall. And it's behind the hardness of the wall. So because this wall has a lot of earth element in it, it's hard. It's relatively hard. It's harder than the carpet. The carpet has less earth element than the wall does. According to the Abhidharma, all physical objects have all four elements in them, to some degree. Even each molecule has all four elements in it, to some degree. And whether the thing is hard or soft or wet or dry depends on how much of that element is in it.
I'm sorry, but somewhere there I
don't think that's
the actual definition.
Well, you can say what? Solid and rigid. Hard and supporting. They're actually defined by their functions. They are their functions. What is true?
Water.
Len. Len means wet. Len.
And.
Wet. And Xing means and. All of them are defined. Shenhua means flowing. Fluid. Flowing. Wet and flowing.
Do they have colors associated with these?
Yeah, and that's ultimately why there's those four colors in the Dorje with the four colors. And they say, for example, that's why you hallucinate when you have hepatitis or something. You know, when you have a bad cold, you see things bluish. They think they're not hot, but actually they have some heat, right?
Does burning your mean in the sense of concern?
Burns your hand. No.
Just to touch.
Burns your hand.
This is...
They're all a little... I don't think they're meant to be... I don't think the two pairs in each definition are meant to be exclusive.
No, but by flowing, I can understand because they are two different qualities. Yeah. Right? It's attached to the sweat. You can watch it and you can see it flow. But yeah.
Well, then maybe Sekhba is destroying. I don't know. It could be consuming. Generally, it means you could say that.
Burning seems to be more dynamic flowing than just hot. It could become hot, but it's burning.
Yangqing Yoa.
Yangqing Yoa.
That's definition Lung. Yang means light, not heavy. Xing means hand. Yoa means, I don't know what you want to call it, but it means, motility?
Moving.
An earthquake is a sayo. You know, that's a yo. Lakwa yo, I mean, like that. To wave to somebody. So they all, I don't know what you can call that. Moving back and forth. Something like that. Whatever air does when it, like when the air conditioner is blowing.
Blowing?
So those are the elements. And Dharmakirti's second argument is that, of course, the elements have to be present there normally when the child is conceived. But that's not where the life and the mind, that's not what came together, disappeared, and suddenly mind came out. It's not like that. They happen to be there. And you can see he's getting into the question of whether how much does the mind depend on the body. Starting to approach that question. And we'll get there.
Does he define life?
How does he define life?
Or does he define life?
It's very difficult. I mean, I was hoping nobody would ask. Yabhidharma defines it as Trila Namsha Dekhaimbo. That thing which underlies the warmth of the body and its consciousness. And there's huge debates about it, so I don't want to get into it. Cold-blooded reptiles and things like that.
That thing which underlies...
Warmth and consciousness. Warmth meaning warmth of the body. No, that's the thing which, when it disappears, the body gets cold. And there's a lot of debates about it, huge debates about it. But I haven't seen any other definition in other literature.
But
don't want to get into that.
No. This is something else you don't want to get into.
All right.
if they say that the body, the mind does not depend upon the body.
They distinguish. Let me get to it later. So that those three things could not have come through any combination of the elements. And I think eventually one day they'll call the elements chemicals. Okay? I mean, he's talking about elements on the element chart. He's talking about chemicals. He's saying you can't take half a teaspoon of this, one teaspoon of that, four teaspoons of this, you know, mix them together, pour in water. They disappear and they flop over into a mind. No such thing. They may be present in the process of the mind entering, but they don't turn into mind or life because they are not even similar at all. They have no similarity. The reason I gave you the definition of each of the elements, those definitions all hinge on some kind of tactile sense, creating some kind of tactile sense, creating some kind of visual thing, creating some kind of thing you can feel. And just not the mind is totally different. You cannot see the mind. You cannot feel the mind. You cannot break the mind. You can't push the mind. You can't squeeze the mind. You can't make it bigger. You can't even tell exactly where it is. It's the sense powers are perhaps, well, only the tactile one is limited to the boundary of your skin. You know, but the rest, I mean, your mind is in and outside of your body all over the place. You know, your body's an outline like that, and the mind is spread all over the place. It doesn't stay inside that little outline all the time. You know, it goes to your house, it goes to Europe, my mind goes to Bombay to the stupid factory. your mind is all over. It's not restricted at all to this area.
Yeah.
Your visual consciousness is restricted to this general area. Don't confuse that with your mind. And don't think it's like just poetic to say that the mind is in Bombay. It's not at all. The mind is as much in Bombay as it is here. My mind. It's not. Don't get your visual sense is so overwhelmingly predominant that you tend to mistake it for your mind. It's not like that. Your mind is truly international. Your mind can truly go anywhere. So it's, stuff is totally different.
It's when you're taking two instances or any other that you might like to cite, where I'm sitting listening to you, but in fact I'm daydreaming about being there on that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm really sort of, my eyes are watching you, and it's not as though I'm conscious. That's one instance. And another, where people have what are called out-of-body experiences or seriously. So in either or any other instance, can the mind, is it divisible?
Can it ever become two mental continuum? No.
Maybe that's a stronger question than I
meant. It never can. And there's this case where Dongbo Rinpoche is this baby, not baby, now he's a boy, in my monastery. There's a big fight because he's the one Dongbo line, and there's another Dongbo line in Kham. And we have both monks are in our monastery. So they both believe that they have the real Dongkorn. And Dongkorn Rinpoche died in the 1700s in a town in China after getting an award from the Emperor of China. And he did pour at the last minute into the body of a Chinese person. And then he was reborn anyway, so now there's two Dongkorn lines. So there's a big debate, you know, could have one line become two? No. One of them has to be a tupu, I mean, or both of them. They have to be the emanation of the same mind.
How many generations will Tukku come?
No, Tukku is independent of actually generations. It's a movie put on by a mind that's somewhere else.
So the mind can carry it on for generation after generation after Tukku?
As it wishes to. Tukku is a physical emanation of a mind that's not... that has nothing to do with that anymore.
So you're saying that Tukku wasn't really born from a mother, it was just...
No, not at all.
So it's a fake.
Yeah, it's just a fake. It's even called Tsultumba. Tsultumba means to put on a show.
But it doesn't.
A true tukul is just a movie put on by some being. It's they could be done all over the place. There could be tuples of the same mind all over. But it's only one mind stream. He's just pretending.
I thought a tuple was a reincarnation of
Well, a true tuple. I'm saying the real meaning of tuple is Dalai. Dalai Lama could be, Avalokiteshvara could be showing Dalai Lamas on a million planets right now. This Dalai Lama is just one of them. But it's not more than one mind. It's one central mind showing these emanations. So it's not that you can create a mind or destroy a mind. It's impossible. There's a certain fixed number of minds and there'll never be more or less. None of them will ever end or none of them had a beginning. We'll get to that.
Can sense powers, any of them, or all of them, exist separate from the mind?
No.
But they're not mind.
The sense powers, I don't know if you talked about that. Can you plug me in there? They are the living cells which sense things like the optic nerve, the patches of cells at the behind the back of the eyeball are the sense power of the eye. So that localized life sensitivity at the back of the eyeball, according to all Buddhist theory, is the power of the eye. It is not mind. It stimulates mind. It transmits to the mind. It helps a mind grow. It helps a consciousness.
But to function, it doesn't depend on mind.
We're going to get to that.
Sense.
We'll get there. That's a good question. Then. Number three, we got to move or else. He wants to show up some absurdities to saying that the elements cause the mind, that they are the main cause of the mind, that they turn into the mind. And he says, well, then they would have to be, each element would have to be a little creature, you know, and they would give life. They would give birth to this life. That's just silly. No such thing. That would also indicate that they're not similar.
There's a sort of cliche that whole is greater than the sum of the parts. I mean, if you want to make soup, you take your vegetables and you take your water and your spices, and it's not like the soup. The vegetable is not the same substance as the soup, but the soup is not a living creature, yet we put all the vegetables and water and put this together and you create soup. So why is it like
different? Someone gave a similar example last week. I think it was in your class. I don't remember who it was. They said, well, it was on the Friday night. Hydrogen and oxygen are in no way similar to water. But they are the nirnan kikyu. They flop over into water. And I thought about it. I didn't have a good answer. But as I think about it, I think his main point is similar stuff. You know, hydrogen and oxygen are physical stuff. And they turn into physical stuff. I think he's trying to say similar in the sense of material or substance. You know, vegetables and water and spices are similar substance to the soup. But mind is just not at all similar to physical matter. And you just have to get... A lot of this argument will become easier as you get better at recognizing how different mind is from matter. Because right now, having grown up since you were a kid and reading in every newspaper you ever pick up, all these slight references to mind as residing in the brain somehow. You just inundated. You're soaked in this viewpoint, and it'll be very hard for you to step outside of it and see mind as something totally different from matter. It's difficult.
It resides with the body in some way.
They're obviously related. That's why he says, Bhashik means alone. We obviously provide some kind of a condition for to support the mind. We're going to see.
When the mind is stopped by, you just can't see it. But it can be a
According to Buddhism, it does. There's a formless realm where beings don't have the fifth. They don't have the first of the five heaps. They don't have physical matter. But we'll get to that.
Well, before you're reborn, the mind has to exist somewhere.
The vital has a physical matter. It's a very subtle physical matter. It's a big debate. Honestly, that was my debate last week. One of them. Take the mind. But my Lama taught me long ago, you know, you don't know. Someday you'll read a commentary why those double negatives are there and why they must be there. Never fool around with Buddhist scripture. And I encourage you the same. I mean, the theory of this course is that after another 3 years, you can go out and teach this stuff to people. Do not change things. Do not. If you don't understand why it's there, don't fix it. You know, Buddhism, if it's changed 1% in each generation, then in 500 years it becomes some new age, you know, latest idea crap.
Nobody's got offered any ideas as to why this is.
Well, I can tell you I'm quite sure why. It would be because he's
the enemy.
Why is he talking about future and past lives? Did he want to write a book about past and future lives? What's the book about? What did he write his book about? What's the book about? What's Dharmakirti's book about? Pramanavartika. Pramanavartika. Semam. Pramana. What is it? What is a correct perception? What is a valid perception? How do you know something's true?
You eliminate all the things that aren't true.
Well, that sounds good, but... No, but... Then that led into what? A tsemekiru. A person who is only Pramana. Then they would start talking about, well, what if a person was only Pramana? What if you and I, people like you and I, only said what we were sure of? I know this Michael Moon does. I have my boss at work. I mean, one thing I admire about, he's the in-between boss. I notice nowadays, having studied this subject, he doesn't say something he's not sure about. He say, well, let me check it out, or let me go find out, or let me make sure myself, let me see it myself. Doesn't speculate. You know, doesn't say something that he doesn't know to be true. And that's very good. That's the idea, actually. That's what we're supposed to reach. So they started discussing a person who is only Sema, an omniscient being, who only lived off of what he really knew, and only spoke about what he really knew. How did that lead into this? Remember the last reasoning boils down to the first reasoning. I know it's been a long course. Remember that? Archaeologist. He's totally correct because I had to grade 50 of these papers, so I can remember. He's totally correct because he's a protector. He's a protector because he went to bliss. He's went to bliss because he's a teacher. And he's a teacher because he has compassion. So it's really the correctness boiled down to compassion. It was compassion that eventually created his total omniscience, his total correctness. Now, how did that lead into... Am I getting close yet? How did that lead into this whole past life?
Yeah,
yeah.
Because he couldn't... It would take a couple of lives to get there.
It would take a lot of lives to develop that kind of compassion.
So they were saying there was no Buddha.
And they said, well, then it's impossible. We say the guy who created the world has to be omniscient from the beginning. Because if omniscience is something that you have to develop, if becoming God, if learning to have the knowledge of God takes so many lives, it's impossible. There's no such thing as past lives and future lives. Mainly because you can't remember past lives, and also when the person stops flopping around on the hospital bed, the mind stops. Anyone can see it. Looks like that. So that's why we're arguing past and future lives. We're trying to establish that someone can develop compassion over many lives, perfect his compassion, and then eventually become omniscient.
You know, there in the Hinayana, despite believing in reincarnation, they still don't believe. Just too big a task.
Well, yeah, if you go to Sri Lanka, it was kind of depressing kind of Buddhism, because they're all saying, like, Yeah, Jains believe. I work with a lot of Jains in the diamond business. They truly believe that you cannot perfect yourself. They believe that you have to go on for billions and billions of lives, and you might as well forget it. It's, you know, it's impossible.
You started out with double negatives.
Yes, I think he's...
Thank you.
I think he's arguing against somebody. Somebody said the mind does not cross into a future life. So now am I relevant? Right? There is no future life. Right. Somebody said there is no future life. And he said, sure, there's a future life. It's not that there's no future life. Okay? Because you can observe the ability of the mind to continue itself. The mind does in the
it's a rhetorical device, in other words, the double negative.
Yeah, no, he's fighting against somebody. Yeah. And if you read the reading, it's actually presented as an argument against something that came before. So you can see that your mind presently has some kind of ability to continue itself.
That's not logical. That's just,
it's not totally foolproof. And you could say, just because at present the mind has this inherent ability to go on to the next moment of mind doesn't mean that the mind at the last moment of my life is also going to have that ability. In fact, we believe it does not have that ability. But this is, I'm just giving you his argument. I'm not trying to fix it. No. I think altogether all his 10 arguments are pretty... He's just pointing out evidence. Okay? He would say to you, what evidence do you have that the last moment of mind should be any different from all the other moments of you prove to me that suddenly after 70 years of having that ability to create the next moment in mind, at the last moment in your life suddenly it loses this ability that it had all that time?
Oh no, I agree with you. I'm well, saying
that's what he says. It's not bad, actually. Yeah. It's like, well, you're saying that something that didn't happen in every moment of your life for that many years suddenly doesn't happen in the last moment? Does the nature of your mind change suddenly? You know, does one of its most basic characteristics suddenly get lost?
I know,
very well. Okay, we got two more to go.
Hey, we observed the tears already, man.
The other thing is, you know, we talk about mind and harking back to the last question, that question number 6, mind coming from other person's mind. Uh-huh. What are we really talking about when we're talking about mind? Because it seems to me there are lots of different qualities that an individual may manifest during a given lifetime that are not part of the mind that goes from lifetime to lifetime, but appear to be mental qualities, or at least take place in that realm. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you mean. Like the difference between core mind and then details of the mind that get lost or don't get lost when you take things
away. His example, again, this is why I have such a problem with his example, skilled craftsman or foolish. I mean, foolishness, it seems to me, is not a quality of the mind that goes from lifetime to lifetime, continues from lifetime to lifetime.
He's not saying that, though.
But he's implying that.
No, what he said was... I see what you mean. Yeah? He's implying that the Chalukyas believe that.
He's making an absurdity, but he's making a nonsense out of this.
Fail to do so? How's that? Sometime 20 years from now, if all this is still going through, you have to stay. I'll tell you, Buddhism says there's four ways of taking birth. And then birth from warmth and moisture, which the Middle Ages they called spontaneous generation. Like, they believed mosquitoes came from warmth and moisture, and they didn't realize there were little eggs there, and actually they came from eggs. So they said, well then, they should be like Trishe de Kewa, means warmth and moisture. Anytime you have warmth and moisture then, basically think of it this way, anytime you have all those chemicals in one place, then poof, the elements should disappear. No, don't forget, it's not silly. That's the acorn, we're talking Nyirlingigyo, we're talking substantial cause, material cause. We're not talking the conditions that are there. The acorn must disappear, period. When the oak tree comes out, the acorn can't be there anymore. So, okay, anytime you have those elements in one place and they happen to bang into each other, poof, they should disappear and there should be a mind there. So, but that's not the case. Sometimes you do see elements come together and creates a condition for life to occur. But you don't always see it. So why? What's happening? What's really causing life to occur there? You get all the physical conditions together sometimes, and life does not occur. Mind does not occur. Therefore, those physical elements are not the main cause for life.
But the physical conditions that we think of to have life occur, they do make life occur.
And mind is not. It's not just in the elements.
The chemicals? So I can get those chemicals together and create a mind? Can I create a mind? Can I place certain chemicals together and they disappear in the mind and mind occurs
no,
there?
No.
That's
the
what the yearling must
the
be.
The sperm and the egg and the...
That's what we believe. That's what we believe. But he's saying, okay, I admit they're always there when the thing happens in a womb birth. But why can't I take those same chemicals, put them on the ground, you know, and wait, and put all the conditions there, and then suddenly a mind occurs. Those elements disappear, and the mind occurs.
Well, I think to some extent some scientists are
they're trying in that direction.
Yeah.
They're trying. They really are trying.
Yeah.
And I don't say it's not possible for, karmically, it's possible for it to occur something. I mean, it's possible to it's possible that you could have all that. Well, I don't even know. No, I don't think so.
No, but it may be a mind
what I mean is not one of the four kinds of birth. I don't think scripturally it would ever happen.
His Holiness said that it can happen in artificial intelligence situation, like a computer. Somebody asked him, could something take birth in a computer? And he said it's possible.
I don't think I mean, which one of the four kinds of birth would it be? I don't know.
That's
Jesus Christ. It is time. In that case, if you call it miraculous, I actually accept it. If you can grow from a lotus flower, you can grow from it. I mean, all the hell beings, supposedly, for example, they just occur there. They don't have parents, and in the deity realms too, they just appear. So that's
Michael, can you just rephrase and see? Just say it another way. I'm having
trouble. I'll say it another way. Then any time you have those same chemicals in the same place, then a mind should occur. But that's not what happens.
Invariably.
Yeah. There should anytime you have those chemicals together somewhere, a mind should poof. You know, a new mind should start. The idea is so silly that you don't agree to me. You laugh, but that's exactly what you scientists are saying. Anytime I get those chemicals together, poof, you know, then a mind starts.
But wait a minute, we're talking about material cause, but also for certain things to take place, for the result of material cause to take place, there do have to be certain conditions for it.
Yes. Yeah, there has to be water, sunlight, fertilizer, soil. Agreed. You didn't say, you keep saying
it's a potential
only.
Until those conditions.
It's not the main cause. It's not what turns into it. They have to be there. The conditions have to be there. He never said that wasn't true. And the conditions may not be too similar to the result. Not as similar.
Means only.
Okay, we have a last one. We're actually going to do pretty good. And I get to eat all the cooking.
Even the sun comes up.
He says, and why not? you tell me the difference. He says, you think I'm being silly. What's the difference between it's causing just one mind and causing 20 minds? You know, if you have 20 teaspoons of sulfur instead of one spoon of sulfur, well then, you tell me the difference. Why do you only get one mind? Why don't you get 10?
But sometimes you do multiple
births. But not 20, right? Not yet.
How come one people?
Well, I changed it from beings, okay? I thought it would have more force. Okay. That's the, one of the rules for interpretation.
Oh, I see.
Right? Do you remember?
I thought you
were supposed to check. It says cable, which means personality. Yeah, okay. I actually gave you everything.
Sashi Bhagi Jashi Metasham Rira Vinshi Nyande Yampadi Sange Shindu Mitte Uwagi Dogo Nanda Shingla
This is the end of Class 8.